So today is Sunday, October 7th, and it's the third of our fall class on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. So our exercise was exercise 15 from the book. Does somebody have the book and would be willing to read that? You have it, Gary?
I do.
Okay.
Love meditation. When anger is not present in him, he is aware. Anger is not present in him. When anger is arisen, when already arisen anger is abandoned, he is aware of it. When anger already abandoned will not arise again in the future, he is aware of it. When his mind is not attached, he is aware. My mind is not attached. When his mind is not hating, he is aware. My mind is not hating.
So we're going to expand on this teaching. You know, what we do is, with this practice, we observe our minds and the feelings and emotions and thoughts and stories that come up. And a lot of times what comes up when they're settled, I just was listening to this novel on audio, and it's about this woman who is like really high-powered, super working career woman with a family and, you know, unlike running on five cylinders kind of thing. And she had this accident and was really impaired in her body. And so part of her healing, there's just like one moment in the book where she says, well, they tell me in my therapy, part of my therapy should be meditate, you know, which is like completely contrary to the velocity of her life, how it had been. And so she says, okay, I'm gonna try and meditate. And so she closed her eyes, and then what it was this running commentary of her thoughts. But what was really interesting to me was that they were very clear thoughts, things that she had not been able to face, you know, about her situation, fears and, you know, and stuff. And it was like, well, that was a really powerful, valuable meditation. She just became aware of all these thoughts and feelings that she was pushing away. So that's, you know, that is what can tend to happen, you know, that our shadow comes up, our wounds come up, stuff we haven't really wanted to look at. I don't know if I told you, did I tell you the Woody Allen quote I came across recently? And this is third hand, so it's a paraphrase, but I was seeing an interview of somebody who was quoting Woody Allen, and he said he saw an interview where someone was interviewing Woody Allen, and they said, well, what do you believe in? You know, expecting some kind of a spiritual or metaphysical response or something. And it basically he said, I believe in the great power of distraction. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, don't we all? Because, you know, in my HUNA training, it's like whatever your belief system is, what if you want to know what your real belief system is, look around you. You know, you're manifesting that. You're expressing that. It's like you can think you think this or that, but that what's coming out of you is what you really believe. And so we all, you know, believe in this power of distraction. And so when we come back and we let go of that distraction, you know, stuff comes up. And that's wonderful. It's like Ty talks about it, that's the compost. That's the energy for creating the garden of our life, you know. And it's not always such an easy thing. And this is a very deep and detailed practice, a practice that we're going into, practicing this sutra with a lot of commitment and a lot of courage. And so I think it's really wonderful that kind of in the middle of all this examination of our minds is put in this practice called love meditation. And it's, I don't know if Ty talks about it this way or not, but in other books that I read about it, they're called interventions. And I really love that, you know, it's like they're doing an intervention. And to me, the intervention is we're dealing with our stuff, perhaps our shadow material or our wounds or our difficulties. And in the middle of it, we need to be reminded what our true nature is. Our true nature is unlimited love and goodness. You know, it's a radiant bliss. And so we're reminded of that, not just by a tap on the shoulder, but the Buddha, as he always does, says, here, practice this. Practice this way, and you'll be reminded, you know. So it's that's kind of the bath of love, the kindness that Mary was talking about. You don't just bring your stuff up in a, you know, bare dark room. You surround it with kindness and the energy of love. And so this is why we do this. And like gratitude, it's a really, really powerful antidote to getting stuck, you know, in the mire of the world's difficulties and our difficulties. And so we're representatives of our world. And this is a really powerful practice to learn to do, because when we can do this then on the behalf of everyone, of all beings. You know? And, you know, it doesn't matter so much, again, whether you believe in prayer or whatever. It's like there, we know there's a field of energy. We all have some understanding that when you walk into a room and there's somebody who's really intensely upset, you know, most people can feel it. There's an energy. And opposite, if someone is just really happy, really peaceful, really light and free. I mean, if you walked into the room with Thay or the Dalai Lama or somebody, you'd feel it, you know. So we have the ability to affect our world. And we don't know, you know, how far out the effects of our mind state goes. But we do know that we have an effect. So we're doing this not on just for ourselves. And we'll talk about this. This is the Bodhisattva path. So when we do this, when we're aware that we are operating from emptiness, we're operating from the reality of non-self, you know, that we all inter are, then we're cultivating what's called bodhicitta. And bodhicitta is the mind of love, or the heart of love. It's defined here, citta is the naturally pure and undefiled state of radiant mind. This is our true nature, this radiant goodness. And this is what we're uncovering by removing those visitors called the five hindrances, you know, by dusting off the mirror that is our radiant self. This is what is getting uncovered. It's already us. We're just dusting off, you know, what's covering that up. So it's kind of interesting. It's like there's a little test of where, if you were going to point to, okay, thinking of yourself as housed in your body, where would you point to? As which, what part of your body is yourself? So for most Westerners, traditionally they point here, to the brain, to the mind. And most Tibetans point here, to the heart. Well, the thing is that in Buddhism, heart and mind are not different. So when we say the mind of love, it's the same thing as the heart of love. So we can sort of let go of that differentiation. Heart and mind are the same. You know. So the purpose of our practice of shamatha, developing stopping and concentration, is to develop this radiance, our natural radiance, to allow our natural radiance and goodness to shine. And what that does for us is it enables a profound sense of compassion, you know, and empathy and loving kindness to kind of be our ground. For me, I can feel it when I'm in touch with that that ground of love. I can be with other people and even be in disagreement, you know, or have some difficulty come up, something that seems, and still, I mean, there could even be an argument going on. And underneath that, there's this bed of love. So it's like, well, yeah, you know, I don't agree with you, and I might be irritated at you, but underneath, I'm still aware that there's this profound experience of love going on. And that's really freeing, you know, because then the rest of it, the whatever's going on up here, the chitter-chatter, yes, no, duality stuff, it's all kind of like, you know, a play, you know, or a game, or, and it's, I'm not minimizing it. It's not that it's not important, it's our daily lives, but it doesn't shake us at the foundation, it doesn't shake us at the roots, you know. So that's, to me, that's an incredible value of cultivating this sort of bedrock of love and compassion and openness. And so that's what we're doing, that's what this practice is about. This is what it gives us. Pema Chodron says, without realizing it, we continually put up a protective wall made of opinions, prejudices, and strategies, barriers that are built on a deep fear of being hurt. These walls are further fortified by emotions of all kinds, anger, craving, indifference, jealousy, and arrogance. But fortunately for us, the soft spot, our innate ability to love and to care about things, is like a crack in these walls we erect. It's a natural opening in the barriers we create when we're afraid. With practice, we can learn to find this opening. We can learn to seize that vulnerable moment. Love, gratitude, loneliness, embarrassment, inadequacy, to awaken bodhicitta. So that's what the practice is. You know, that the wall is not our entirety. You know, that there's cracks in the wall and the love is seeping through. So we want to be in touch with that, you know. So in our text, Thay talks about metta practice. Some of us are familiar with metta practice, and some of us maybe are. You, is anyone brand new to metta practice? Loving kindness. Yeah. Okay. So metta practice is a practice that the Buddha taught, and it's one of these love intervention practices. You know, the main purpose of what is to open our hearts. It's also sending out the energy of love. But it's not really, the main purpose isn't for us to work real hard at metta and fix the world. You know, it's for the way that it happens is internally, through our own being in touch with the cracks in our walls, with that vulnerability. And where's the edge of that? Where's the edge of our heart space able to go? You know, where does that stop? Which is also fine, but to be more familiar with, oh, I really do have a hard time sending love to that person or that situation, and then just realizing where our edges are. And in our book here, Thay talks about this metta practice as moving out, he describes it as moving out geographically. And that's one way that it's done. We do this practice the traditional way in our, for those of you who are new to our Sangha, we have a New Year's morning practice every year. We've done this for, I don't know, what, 10 years or something? And it's so wonderful. It's some people's very favorite practice from like 10 to 12 in the morning on New Year's Day. And we have a metta practice, a loving kindness, which is a guided meditation, and then we have a tea ceremony. And so last year I led it, and we did it geographically. We did it moving our space out farther and farther around us. And then there's another traditional way that we'll do it a little bit later, where I'll explain it. We won't do it today, but I'll explain another way to do it later on. But today, we're going to do metta practice for ourselves. And this is, again, just to reemphasize the Buddhist teaching about putting ourselves in the picture, putting ourselves first. It's just like, you know, the airplane, take your own oxygen before you help your child even, you know. Otherwise, you're useless, you know. You have to take care of yourself first. So it's, and for some people, it's a really tough lesson, you know. And I mean, I know when I started doing metta practice, I don't think of myself as a person who puts myself aside. I think of myself as a person who takes very good care of myself. But I noticed that I kept forgetting to put myself first to do it. I would start doing it for other people, and I just kept forgetting. And it was a really good awareness. It's like, yeah, I could use a little work on this, you know. So the Buddha said, you can travel the whole world and never find anyone who can love you as well as you can love yourself. So our practice is to be our own best friend. And to be our own best friend, we have to really know each other, know ourselves well. I remember one time there was a story about there's a nun at Plum Village, who's the abbess of the Lower Hamlet, which is where some of the women live, and her name's Sister Gina. She's really a wonderful teacher. And there was a fellow who I know who had gone to Plum Village for a retreat. And then he went with some Sangha members and friends, and then all his Sangha members and friends left, and he stayed on for a while. And he realized that he was feeling really lonely. Even though, you know, he knew people and stuff, but I guess he didn't know people where he was staying. And so he went to Sister Gina and he said, well, I'm feeling kind of lonely because all my friends have left. And she just looked at him sort of curiously, said, Richard, what about yourself? You know, and I think that that comes from her wisdom of being a nun. You know, they have a very close community, but also, you know, she needs to be her own best friend and know how to take good care of herself. You know? And the Buddha also said, one who truly loves himself will never harm another. So, you know, it's not just an indulgence. I'm speaking to the Puritan energy. That sort of like somebody's mother might have said, don't get a big head or something. You know, I mean, that kind of training that we have. This is a really powerful path to non-harming, to becoming a bodhisattva, is learning to love ourselves. So we are going to do a loving kindness meditation for ourselves. So it's helpful to put your feet on the floor if that feels okay to you. It grounds you. And to just settle in and follow your breath. And it's really helpful to really just offer your attention to the sound of the bell and let the sound of the bell carry you into the present moment. Thank you. So just let your breath be the vehicle for offering kindness to your body. Any place that may come up that needs a little extra attention, you can send it now. And now with your mind's eye, imagine your own flourishing. How do you envision your happiness and the fulfillment of your dreams? What kind of satisfaction, joy, and meaning do you most deeply desire? Visualize your own well-being and the achievement of your highest ideals. This is your Buddha nature. The true potential already inside you. Now picture this immeasurable reservoir of innate natural resource as an orb of radiant white light at your heart center. It's the wellspring of all virtue and a source of innate joy and happiness that lies in the deepest dimension of your own awareness. Direct this heart of loving kindness to yourself with the yearning, may I know happiness and the causes of happiness. May I be fulfilled. With each out-breath, imagine rays of light emanating from the orb of light at your heart, saturating every cell of your body and suffusing every aspect of your mind. Now direct that energy of loving kindness out to the world around you with the yearning. May I receive all that I need to find true fulfillment and genuine happiness. May the world rise up to support me with everything I need to fulfill my deepest aspirations. with each in-breath. Imagine the world answering your call to satisfy your innermost desires, giving you all you need to follow your path and realize your highest ideals. Imagine this kindness of others as white light flowing into your body and mind, satisfying every need. With each in-breath, say, may I be truly well and happy, and may I freely receive all that I need to achieve well-being. As the artist of your own being, in what ways would you love to shape, transform, and purify yourself to realize your highest ideals? Let your imagination play. With each out-breath, say, may I so transform. May I be liberated and enriched by such qualities.